Hey, welcome back to the Infamous Podcast. This is episode 78, Cold Hearted, volume 1. I'm Brian.
This is Johnny.
And this is the Infamous Podcast. And hey, did you know, Johnny?
Yeah.
That we don't have ads on our show?
Yeah.
And we want to keep it that way.
Okay.
So we went ahead and we made ourselves a Patreon page.
All right.
Dun, dun, dun. Anyway, it's patreon.com/infamouspodcast. Go check it out. There's some pretty cool things. Johnny will make you a collage. I'll make you a t-shirt, depending on your level of support. But we would love your support so we can keep not having to hunt for advertisers.
Sure.
And keep doing this because we want to go to conventions and bring you cool like interviews and shiz.
Yeah.
All right. Ready to get to it?
Sure.
All right. So this week we picked some of our favorite villains.
What did not you? News bites, or
well, we'll get to that, but okay. Like, just
oh, you're explaining the title
I'm
of the
explaining
episode,
explaining the title in the show. But yeah, so we pick some of our favorite villains. It's not our top five or whatever, just ones we like,
five
villains that resonate with us, at this moment in
five
history.
Random, but yours were all predictable. Well, for me, I knew four of them at least.
Okay, well, we'll see which ones you knew. I know the one you didn't know because you haven't watched them. No, I don't think you would have picked.
I've watched a little bit of The Wire, but
yeah, I just don't think. I don't think you would have picked all of these. Anyway, I know the one that was definitely for sure. But yeah, anyway, we have some news bites to talk about before mm-hmm. we get into this. Starting with everyone's favorite shared TV universe. All of the DC shows and more have been given early renewals from the CW.
Right.
I'm kind of surprised. Not that they were renewed. One, that it was this early. But I am kind of surprised that Legends got the early renewal.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
It's gotten better.
Yeah.
As the season's gone on. I just think, I don't know. It's the one that probably has the most problems. With yeah. just with the way they're doing time travel yeah. and with the Flash doing time travel and I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, but
it's
I
just
think they've got it all planned out.
And because, I hope that's the case.
You know, it seems like it.
I hope so, yeah.
Especially with Reverse Flash being on Legends right now.
Right. Well, I mean, he's on, like, he has the ability to go on any of them.
Well, right,
which
yeah.
is cool, which right. I would love to see him on Supergirl.
Yeah?
Yeah. Eobard Thawne versus Supergirl? That's kind of a,
be an interesting,
you know, a cool little battle.
A race.
But yeah, no, I'm definitely excited for this. Arrow is back.
How know? Fun would it be because Supergirl takes place on a different Earth if Eobard Thawne was the Flash?
Ooh, that would be yeah, a good one.
See,
I would like that.
There you go.
He came back in time to be mm-hmm. the Flash.
Yeah.
Like Barry died or something.
Well, because
I mean,
there was,
we know
well, there
no...
was legends of a Flash, but yeah. no, you know, nothing certain.
Yeah. That would be an interesting thing.
Because Clark Kent was the Red Blue Blur for a while yeah. there in Smallville. Yeah. So the legend of the Flash was born.
Then he was just the Blur.
See, and that would be cool because the Flash's suit would be red and blue mm-hmm. instead of.
Well, like Jay Garrick.
Yeah.
You know? Anyway. Yeah. All right. Yeah. I mean, like I said, I'm excited for this. I think all the shows have been really good. I think Supergirl is found a home.
It's solid
on
now.
The CW.
Yeah.
They don't have to pander to that CBS demographic.
Well, and they don't have to pander to just the female demographic either, like they were doing the first season. You can see, you
I think
can
the first
see a
half
difference.
Of the first season for sure.
Yeah, you can definitely see a difference between this season and last season in the mm-hmm. fact that it's not all in your face.
Yeah,
but it's like it's still female empowerment.
It's a nice holistic story. Now,
but it's like so. You know, it's not in your face like it was last year.
The stuff with Alex is cool.
Yeah,
Martian Manhunter is. Still one of the cooler storylines.
Yeah.
Miss Martian being on there is really cool. You know, we got Dean Cain back for an episode.
I really do hope that they do Batwoman at some point. You know.
If they're allowed, that would be really cool.
I think that they would be allowed to do that and mention Batman, but not have Batman in it.
Or if it's not Batwoman, it's like Cassandra Cain or yeah. something like that would be cool. Of course, you know, Stephanie Brown would be a good one. Just
yeah.
because of all the Batgirls, she probably had the best relationship with Supergirl.
Well, right.
So
I think it would be
wise.
Cool if like you got if they can use. I think at this point they should be able to use everybody, because they've got Superman in
right
now.
Right.
So it's like, you know, why wouldn't you be allowed to use the cast of Batman? You know, there's none of that. There's none of that 15, 20 year ago thing where it's like Batman's his own thing. Yeah. And that
off
it's like
limits.
You know, why couldn't we see Tim Drake and Stephanie Brown and Cassandra Cain? That would be the ones I would use because they're the less known.
And they're the most like.
And that way you could have a Robin Batgirl. Yeah. What was Cassandra's last identity? I don't even remember.
Black Bat.
You could have them show up. And be like, you know, we're from Gotham.
Yeah,
you know?
Now she's like the Whisperer.
And
well, something.
And Supergirl would be like, so there's legends of that guy. Yeah. Is he really real? And it's like, you know, and Superman would already know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He absolutely would.
I just wish that, you know, they would mention Wayne Tech or something and just, you know, build it into that universe because it's like, it's due at this point, you know.
Agreed.
But then again, I think that Oliver Queen should show up on Supergirl in that universe too, and you know,
as in Oliver Queen,
as in Oliver Queen from her Earth.
Shouldn't Robert Queen be Green Arrow of her Earth?
No, that's Earth 2.
I know.
Yeah, which they never did follow through on that. I wish they would have followed through on that.
That would have been great.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, so no, that's cool. Like I said, Arrow's been really good.
Yeah.
Legends started out like hokey. And got really good. Yeah. And it was the best of all of the crossover episodes, in my opinion.
Oh, I think so, yeah. I mean, that whole crossover was fun, so.
And the, I mean, Supergirl wasn't really a part of it. Like,
no, not really.
Like, if they hadn't re-aired that entire part during The Flash.
Which, oh, the end of
the
episode?
The end of the Supergirl episode. Like, you know, I would have thought differently, but it really wasn't part of it. But yeah. All right. So moving on. Entertainment Weekly.
You didn't even say anything about Supernatural.
Oh, yeah. Supernatural got picked up.
So
what's that? Season 49?
This is 13. This is season 13. Yeah. And I was telling her, I said, this would be the perfect season to end it because it's number 13.
Oh, unlucky. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, you know, in some realms, that's an unlucky number. But it's like, that would be cool if they, you know, finally decided to end it. 13 would be the one to end it on.
Yeah.
So yeah. I don't know at this point because I haven't watched like the last three seasons, but I'm like, man, that's, you know,
yeah,
the show's getting long in the tooth. The boys are still young. I mean,
yeah, they're so young. Yeah. I mean, I don't think Jensen Ackles has aged since he was on Smallville.
Right.
He looks almost exactly the same.
It's because they're drinking baby blood behind the scenes.
They're actually into the occult.
Yeah, exactly. That's where the whole show went off the tracks.
But yeah, so, like, yeah, Jane the Virgin got picked up.
Yeah.
You know, The 100 hasn't aired yet, so that wasn't, like, you know, iZombie hasn't aired yet.
Right.
But like, of the current ones that are on,
are
it
they,
was everything
they're
except
coming for on
No
mid-season,
Tomorrow.
Are they doing less episodes?
No.
They're doing the same amount of episodes.
So the 16, that's whatever.
Kinda,
so, yeah.
That's kind of smart. Yeah.
It'll, so they can go longer. So, like, when Legends ends.
Right.
Right. And then iZombie comes back and
right.
The 100 comes back, you know, they kind of fill that post superhero show time slot.
Right.
But yeah.
And Legends, I think this, what, the new season?
It moves to Tuesday.
Moves to Tuesday.
But it's only for, you know, 5 or 6 episodes.
Yeah.
It's not, I mean, it doesn't have that many episodes left in the season. So.
Okay.
But I don't know. I would like for next season.
Yeah.
All of these to just be 13 episodes. But.
You can't do a crossover then.
Well, maybe you do.
And there's
13.
Still another crossover.
What if
coming?
You do 13 episodes, and that's the season, and then you come back, and you do, you know, maybe 4 episodes of each show. That's all crossover. It's just one big shared like.
It seems
multi
like a lot
event.
Though.
Or maybe, you know, then maybe
two
it's
weeks,
not.
Maybe
yeah, maybe 2 weeks. Maybe
yeah,
you
like
do,
an 8-episode arc or something. Yeah.
So that would be cool. Yeah. That would be like real event television, right?
Sure.
You would have to watch so you don't get like spoiled or anything. I don't know. All right,
but there's still another crossover coming.
Is there really?
Yeah, there's a Supergirl Flash musical episode.
Oh, I forgot about
yeah. The Which, Glee episode.
It should be fine because they were both on Glee, right?
And everybody from Glee that's alive is going to show up, alive and not in jail.
Are there people from Glee that died?
In real life, the main guy died.
I never watched Glee, so
The other main guy got arrested for. Child pornography or something.
All right, so, then.
Yeah, I'm like, is this show cursed afterwards?
post Glee curse.
They said that the I think his name was Corey Monteith had a lot of issues anyway. Yeah, so
well, that'll happen.
Yeah,
too bad.
He was. I mean, he was a good singer, so you know he could have had a career as a musician. I think, but
or as an actor,
just fame. Fame takes people like that sometimes.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Anything about Arrow? Anything about Flash you want
to
add? Or?
I'm looking forward to seeing what this thing is with Laurel Lance back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw a thing on, I think it was Comic Book News or maybe it was Comic Book Resources.
Yeah.
Where they had someone mocked up what Felicity would look like as Black Canary.
No.
Arrow, you have gone so far to win everyone back. If you go and you throw that Felicity crap in and you put her as Black Canary, no. Like, send her off to the fringe. Make her a bad guy. Let her be the big bad for the next couple seasons. Yeah. Why not?
Yeah.
She knows everything about the team.
Yeah.
They're helpless to stop her from like a computer perspective.
Well, maybe that's just too much then.
I don't know. So they can do they can wipe her mind or something. Who knows?
No, but what sucks about Arrow is that they can't use a lot of things because of the DC movie universe now.
Yeah.
So Suicide Squad and Deathstroke are off limits now.
Yeah.
That just sucks.
They keep like that. This is what bothers me about like DC and Warner Brothers just in general, right?
Yeah.
They're like, oh no, it's a separate, it's its own universe.
Right. Yeah.
Great. Use everyone.
We get
Well, no, there's movies. So it's like, you think we're not smart enough to realize that the version of Green Arrow on the screen.
Well, it's not us.
With the Flash, right? No, I'm not saying us. I'm saying fans, just in general. Like,
no, it's not even fans. It's just the general public is what they're acknowledging.
They're smart enough to realize the Flash that you see in the movie, it's not the Flash that you see in the TV show. It's not the Flash that you read about in the comic.
Right.
It's not the Flash that you're watching on Justice League.
But the thing is if you talk to people who are just the general public, they do get confused. Just because I talk to people who see these movies and they're like, well, who's that compared to that? And I'm like, but this one's not that one.
But here's the thing. I think it's fine to ask that question because they'll go and they'll check out the TV show to see what's
different. Tell them just to think of the Justice League Cinematic Universe. That's what I call it right now. As a separate Earth.
Yeah.
I'm like, I said the crisis on multiple Earths could happen.
Mm-hmm.
And you could cross it all over, but they're not smart enough to do that.
They're not brave enough to do that.
You know. No, they're not smart enough. It's nothing to do with bravery. They just think about money.
Well, yeah.
And it's like, you know, you don't have to be brave. You just have to be smart enough to coordinate the story.
Yeah.
And they couldn't coordinate the story because they can't agree on, you know, should Grant Gustin be the Flash in the Justice League movie or not?
Yeah.
To the point that, you know, I'm sure it got down to the wire and they were finally like, no, he's going to be different.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, that's fine, Ezra Miller.
Yeah. And we saw the costumes. There was a picture that came out. I sent it to you.
Yeah.
And you
said that's not a good picture.
Like Cyborg's face has little, or his junk has little eyes on it. I don't think
it was a good enough picture to even say that.
Joe posted an HD version of it. And if you look at it, it's like there's a nose and mouth and then the two little red eyes right at his hips.
It's pixelated. Like, that's just pixelated.
It's not though. No, I'm telling you, I have the HD one.
I mean, has DC said he's got a face on his dick?
Well, no, but that's what it looks like. Know. Anyway.
Right.
But anyway, and then like Gail Gadot.
I could do that too.
In the picture, Gail Gadot's just like kind of looking off into the and then Affleck looks like Night Owl. It's like, hey, Zack Snyder, he doesn't need the Night Owl goggles.
The goggles?
Yeah.
That's because Nightmare was so popular.
But he didn't have those goggles. He had like a ski goggle thing.
Right.
You know, and then like the Flash costume all of a sudden has bungee cords all over it, which was weird.
Hmm.
But, and then Momoa looked like a homeless Thor.
Yeah.
This is my opinion.
Yeah. But,
you know, my opinion is
that is not a good picture.
No, it
is not a good
picture.
It's not. It's one of those things where if you want to release a cast picture, you stand them all in a room with a background and you take a picture of them. I mean, look at the Entertainment Weekly that has the Defenders on it.
Yep, looking at it right now.
Yeah. So. I mean, that's a decent picture. And when the Avengers were all in a cast picture together. It's like, okay, you got to see them clearly. Mm-hmm. The first picture you seen of them was not a shaded. You almost thought I was going to say the other word, didn't you? I mean, but when I'm going to take a picture of my cast, if I'm doing a movie, and I'm going to take a picture of my cats. It's supposed to be the picture, which, you know, they were like kind of making this seem like it was the picture. You don't put fog in it. Mm-mm. You don't put them 50 feet away from the dam.
Yeah, and they're not coming out of...
They got to be right up in the frame.
They're not coming out of the spaceship from, you know, Invasion of the Fourth Kind.
Well, it just tells you that the people that are working on these movies are not fans. Because if I was going to do the Justice League in a picture, I would have shot it like the damn comic book where it's like them all looking up at the camera.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, you got a problem?
Or like the Justice League Unlimited cartoon where they're like kind of like it's that. Yeah. It's where it's the silhouettes of them in the line, but like all of them.
Yeah.
Right.
But I mean, you know, that the thing with doing a overhead shot is you see them all.
Yeah.
You can't see them all in this picture. I mean, you know, you pick at details, but there aren't details.
No.
You're just pixelating details.
Now,
really.
And I'm one who, like, I don't really judge the costumes until I see them in motion.
Right.
But, like, I look at the Flash one, I'm like, what is that going to look like? Like, how is that
suit
move?
The one he was wearing in Suicide Squad?
No, it's not.
Oh, yeah, well.
So, anyway, yeah. All right, let's move on. You brought up the Defenders picture. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Entertainment Weekly ran a whole special with the first look of the Defenders. The pictures are cool. We learned that Sigourney Weaver's character, her name is Alexandra.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's a tidbit. People are thinking she might be the Alexandra that was the Kingpin's predecessor.
Yeah.
As, you know, Wilson Fisk's predecessor as the Kingpin of crime.
Yeah.
So who knows? But because she's going to be the villain for the series.
Hopefully she ties the shield somehow.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah.
God, oh, are you caught up?
I haven't watched the last night's
episode.
Last night's was so good.
We're caught
up to last night. So.
Or, well, the other night,
you know,
I guess.
Right. Yeah, whatever.
But, yeah. Anyway,
this week's episode.
This week's, yeah.
There you go.
But, no, I mean, the stuff that we've seen from the Defenders looks good. I'm excited to see Iron Fist that comes out later this year. But, yeah, I think.
March?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's in that, the Daredevil slot.
Right.
So, yeah, I like to call it the Daredevil and then the Jessica Jones slot because those were the first two.
Yeah.
But, yeah. But anyway, it's like the exact opposite, like you were saying, right?
Yeah.
DC shat the bed.
Right.
And then the Entertainment Weekly one gave us this really cool picture of them sitting on top of a New York City yellow cab.
Yep.
It's got their names and, you know, it kind of just works.
Just so you know who they are. And they're all in street clothes, so they're not in costume.
Right.
Which is fine.
Yeah, it's just a really good way to introduce.
Right.
So, anywho.
I'm curious to see where Luke Cage will tie into this, since the way Luke Cage ended it was him just riding off. It's like, okay. And I can't wait for Hawkeye to show up.
Hawkeye.
I think that's who it's going to be. Avenger's going to show up and it's going to be Hawkeye.
You think he'll be the leader of the team?
No, I just think he'll show up at some point.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, if we're saying this is all in the same universe, you got to throw an Avenger in there at some point. And Hawkeye is the perfect Avenger to throw in because he's just a street level guy.
Yeah.
Just like the rest
of them. Black Widow. Black Widow. Yeah, but I think having Hawkeye.
Like Hawkeye's retired. And
I'm really excited to see how they bring them all together.
Yeah.
Like, that's the one of the things I'm
like,
really
hopefully the Defenders show up in Infinity Wars.
That would be cool.
Yes.
Did you see Peter Dinklage is in talks to join for Infinity Wars?
Does this mean we're getting the X-Men crossover?
I was about to say, I didn't know we were going to get out Puck from Alpha Flight.
So. No. He played a character, remember? He was in an X-Men movie.
Yeah,
so,
well,
you know.
But he was Bolivar Trask. But, no, I don't know who he's going to play, but it'll be interesting.
He's going to build the Sentinels.
I don't know. He's just awesome. I'm always happy to see more of him.
He's going to be, I forget the character's name. There was a character in the Infinity Gauntlet story that is a small person character. So if that's who he's going to be, then that's kind of interesting.
Cool.
I don't know how much of the Infinity Gauntlet they can really tie in because, you know, the Infinity Gauntlet had a lot of heroes that aren't in that universe right now. So.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting to see. I think they're going to have like 64 total heroes throughout the two movies.
Yeah.
So anyway.
We'll see. I thought it was just one movie now.
I think it's still a one and two type thing.
Really?
It's just not called part one and part two.
Okay.
So I still think it's a two part
story. Did they start shooting in Scotland this week? is what I heard.
Week or next. All right. And so then our last news bite to talk about is the Green Lantern Corps movie, which, you know, we're back to DC. They're unfortunately moving forward with the David Goyer penned script.
Yeah.
So I'm right there.
With a co-writer?
Yeah, with, what's the name? Justin Rhodes. And it's reportedly based on the story by Goyer and Jeff Johns. So
which
I don't know.
Story by Goyer and Jeff Johns?
It was a story. Sorry, not the. Like, they didn't say.
I was going to say Rebirth?
But they're calling it. Well, David Goyer didn't do Rebirth.
I think he might have helped.
Yeah. All right. But they're calling it Lethal Weapon in Space, where Stewart's described as a, you know, a Marine sniper and then Hal Jordan. You know, so it's the two of them.
Yeah.
So,
but does that mean that John Stewart's been a Green Lantern for a while and Hal's new, or
maybe I'm not 100% sure. So it's there's not a lot here. It's supposed to come out on July 24th, 2020.
Yeah.
But the first Green Lantern movie was so bad because it was
Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, and it was just bad because it was. It showed a distinct lack of understanding about what made Hal Jordan a hero.
Oh, you for know? Me, it was just the, what you call it? Not Sinestro.
Parallax. It's a cloud.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, learn your lesson from Fox and the Fantastic Four movies, dummies. But.
You can see Galactus' shadow on the cloud. Come on.
It says here they're tying Stewart's backstory to the his current comic book origins,
which is just the Marine.
Yeah,
no architect.
So, which sucks. I mean, the architect. So the beauty of the four Earthbound Green Lanterns. I know we have two more thrown in there, but of the four main ones that we've had for a while, is the different ways their constructs were built and the different ways that they approached being lanterns, right?
Right.
And the beauty of John's is you always got, they were always built, right?
Right, yeah.
And you always got the impression they were completely solid, whereas, with Hal's and with Kyle's especially, they always seemed hollow.
Well,
like,
Kyle's was always cartoony because he was a cartoonist.
Right.
And that guys were always emotional because he was the most emotional of the four.
Yeah.
And Hal's just were, you know, just think of something. Got to think of something to use as a weapon.
Yep, improvise.
Yeah, yeah.
But more so than Guy and especially John, I always felt like Hal and Kyle seemed just breakable and, you know, not as powerful. Not to say they weren't as powerful like wielding the ring. It's just John's constructs are, you know, when you have a good artist on Green Lantern, they get John right.
Right.
During what was it, the one of the events where he has to shoot Mogo.
Yeah.
Right. Like when he builds the gun, you see all the mechanisms, all the mechanisms coming together to build the, you know, the thing. And,
they just don't mention as much about him being an architect as much anymore as they used to. Mm-hmm. And he obviously is still both.
And I've dropped Green Lantern.
Right.
For the first time since the '80s, I don't get a Green Lantern book. You're not reading. Have you read it? When's the last time you read it?
I haven't read it.
I mean, I have 2 years worth of New 52 Green Lantern. Yeah. I just didn't read. So I'm like, screw it. I'm not getting any more of it.
Right.
I don't enjoy it. They've ruined the characters that
yeah,
I
if
like.
You don't enjoy the book, why pick up the book?
And Green Lantern's one of my, obviously one of my all-time favorite characters.
Right.
And, you know, to have that happen, it just makes me sad. All right.
It's all about the money.
It's all about the money. Is. Cool. All right, that's News Bites.
So we got Justice League Power Rangers.
I can't even say anything.
Well, no, seriously. I mean, it definitely, you can tell that a lot of these books is just all about the money. So, you know, and there's a Power Rangers movie coming out, and there's a Justice League movie coming out. So let's cross them over.
Yeah, why not?
There was a Suicide Squad movie last year and a Justice League movie this year. Let's cross them over.
Yup. So... All right, want to talk about villains?
Sure.
Cool. All right, so we came up with this idea. We're going to talk about, like, you know, some of our favorite villains. And just like with the comic book covers, we're going to come back and revisit this topic every once in a while.
That's why it's called Volume 1.
Volume 1. I like the Volume 1. Because, like, with the cover up, I did just cover up 2. So, you know, we'll keep that going. But, yeah, you have a... I liked yours.
Mine all came out of, like, left field, pretty much.
No, no, I wasn't surprised by 2 of them.
Which 2?
The Lethal Weapon 1 and the Monster Squad 1.
Okay.
But mainly because I knew you watched Lethal Weapon on Christmas.
Yeah.
So that one's fresh in your head, and the Monster Squad just, you know, makes perfect sense.
Sure.
But yeah, so do you want to start?
Sure.
Just pick one at random.
I'll pick Magua from The Last of Mohicans movie version. I'm not talking about the book version because I've never read the book. He was portrayed by Wes Studi. Mm-hmm. Michael Mann directed the movie. It's from 1992. And this dude's just creepy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, that's mainly why I picked him. He's a vengeful character. And he just does some pretty wicked stuff in the movie. I think the reason why he stands out to me is the end of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
When he takes the one daughter of the general that he kills earlier in the movie. And he's taking her across the mountains of, I think it was Tennessee they shot it in. And that, but, you know, it could have been any mountain range in that. But he's taking her because nobody could agree on anything with him. You know, he wanted to just continue killing Englishmen and that. And the Huron chief that he took the daughters to wouldn't agree to it. Mm-hmm. And gave him one of the daughters and told him he had to leave the other daughter.
Yeah.
And that, so the heroes of the movie, Hawkeye and Chingachgook and Uncas, pursue him because Hawkeye has fallen in love with the other daughter, which I, Korra, and Korra's the one they take, I think. And I can't remember the other one's name.
Refer to the notes.
Yep. Notes. Yeah, Korra's the one that is with Hawkeye, and then Alice is the one that Magua takes.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're pursuing them up the mountain, and Chingachgook is the youngest, and he's moving faster than everybody else, so he catches up to them, and literally it's like a fight to the death, and he dies. And Magua kills him, and, like, you know, doesn't even blink twice when he kills him, and he falls off the mountain, turns back around to Alice, and, like, beckons her to come on.
Yeah.
And he looks at her, and she just backs up off the mountain. He doesn't even look down there to see anything and keeps going.
Yeah.
And at that point, or Uncas was the one who died. Chingachgook was the last of the Mohicans. Chingachgook catches up to him, and literally they battle. And at the end, he kills him, but, like, he's still, Magua is, like, standing there like, what?
Yeah.
You know? What and it's just he just throws off a creepy villainous flair, I guess.
Cool. That was a good one. I haven't seen Last of the Mohicans in forever, and I saw you put that down. I'm gonna watch this
just
again.
The end of that, just the last, like, 20 minutes of that movie are just, like, rewatchable.
Yeah, well, the whole movie,
the whole movie's rewatchable. I mean, any Michael Mann movie is really, like, a rewatchable movie, but, like, the last 20 minutes of that, the music and the way that, you know, it's not a lot of dialogue.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's just like, man, this is, like, you know, one of the baddest guys around.
Uh-huh. Cool. All right. So mine have a theme. They're all TV villains.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if you noticed that or not.
I didn't notice that.
I kind of stuck with that. And sure. I'll just do my first one. It's Scorpius.
Mm-hmm.
David and I did a Farscape episode while you were gone.
Right.
And, I mean, Scorpius has always been one of those villains that just stuck with me, right?
Right.
He's portrayed by Wayne Pegram,
yep.
Who was... also the stand-in for Grand Moff Tarkin in episode 3.
Mm-hmm.
But Scorpius was an awesome villain because you got to a point where you're like, is this guy bad? Is he good? Like, what is his agenda?
Yeah.
And I think that ambiguity makes for the best villains. And then he also had a glaring weakness. Like, you know, most heroes have that big, like, that one weakness. And, like, you know, the villains, they're flawed and whatever. But, like, he had a physical weakness, which you don't see a lot, so that makes him stand out.
Yeah, you give a villain a disability, and then that's kind of why he's a villain.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know,
but like, but his disability would like literally would shut him down.
Right.
And like, so it was very cool. Like, you know, the cross between the Scarron and the Sabbatian.
Right.
And you know, it was, you know, he shouldn't have existed. And he was, he came on as one of those here or one of those villains that wanted to watch the universe burn.
Right.
But you learn, as you learn more about him, you learn that he's much deeper than that.
Oh yeah, and he's a very complex
and there's all these layers and you know, he was strategically one of the cooler TV villains I think we've ever seen.
I can remember when he was interviewed, I'm pretty sure it was when he was interviewed or one of the production people said that he's an evil version of Spock. And I'm like, that was a perfect description of him.
He approaches everything from a logical point of view.
Yeah.
And then the other really cool part about him is we got like Crichton's inner monologue version of him.
Yeah. The Harvey.
A couple of different ways. And we had a couple different versions of Harvey. so we not only got to see Scorpius as like Scorpius proper as the villain. We got to see Harvey, and we got to see how the hero of the story really viewed the villain.
Right.
And it was just, I mean, it was magical. It's what made Farscape so special.
Yeah. And I mean, like, besides that, thinking of the performance of the actor wearing all that makeup and that suit, and it was just like, you know.
The black leather gimp
suit. He really, like, emoted without emoting, and that, especially when he would get angry. Because when he would get angry, the Scarron would come out and his face, like the way they did the
with the makeup,
the effects and the makeup,
his cheeks, and like his lips, like
because there was at one point his suit was malfunctioning. I can remember he looked like he was sinking into the suit, and I'm like, that's a really weird.
It was
effect.
When he ran out of like the cooling rods, right? Yeah, and it was like, you know, because
but just the way his he looked sunken into it, and it's
and he always
they
looked,
did a really good job of that, and it was like, you know, it's part of the makeup and part of the performer, that does that job.
The craggy part of the Scarrons, and then like the lower half of his face was all Sabbatian,
right?
Or humanoid, or human, whatever you want to call it. But yeah, it was just, oh man, he was so cool. And like, I remember when they first they didn't introduce him until later
he was at
the
end of the first
season.
Yeah,
and
he's just standing there in the background.
Well, no, I mean we had him because
well, I mean he showed by the end of the episode by the end of that four episode arc, but like that the first time he shows up, he's just standing in the background. Yeah. He's kind of in shadow, and everybody's like, you know, gets quiet when he comes in the room, and then everything goes back to normal. But it's like you're like, well, who's that guy?
Yeah,
you're like. You know, because Kreis had been the villain up until that point.
Yeah, Kreis.
And Kreis was just, you know, crazy, vengeful,
crazy. He was, you know, oh, you killed my brother.
Yeah, yeah.
Prepare to die.
Right. But yeah, it was the thing when that guy showed up. It's like, okay, this is going to go a different way now.
My name is Bylaw Kreis. Mm-hmm. You killed my brother. Prepare to die. Anyway, but yeah, so that's one of mine, like, definitely sticks with me. I remember when I first, like I said, remember first seeing him.
Yeah.
I remember what really kind of was made me think, okay, I'm all in with this guy as the villain, and I'm looking forward to a multi-season arc with him.
Yeah.
Because that was the other thing is they don't normally keep the villain around for more than one season.
Right.
Is what he did to Stark, or just, Sark.
Yeah, Stark. Yeah.
Where the one agent from the Matrix, where he made the guy so crazy, and it was like the my side, your side.
Right.
It's like, what's he going to do to Crichton? Like, wow.
Oh, and it just evolved through this show. I mean, you know, you didn't find out everything he did to Crichton. And in the
we're learning things in season four that he did to Crichton. All right. So you want to move on to your next one?
Sure. My next one is from the movie Silverado. It's a character called Cobb that was portrayed by Brian Dennehy.
Love Brian Dennehy.
Yeah. Brian Dennehy's scary anyways.
Oh, yeah.
And then this guy is just, you know. He's the sheriff of Silverado, but he's not a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
When we first meet him, he's helping his old friend Peyton, who had pretty much lost all his clothes and his horse and everything. Mm-hmm. And then he tells him, come to Silverado. He goes, you know, things have changed, and he shows him the badge. And it's like, you know, Peyton's like, wait a minute, this doesn't seem right. Because they had ran together as criminals.
Yeah.
And then when he gets to Silverado, Peyton finds out that things aren't as good as
he let him.
Cobb let him know. Cobb's running Cobb's running the saloon with a partner, and he's the sheriff of the town, mm-hmm. but he's working for the richest man in the county, and they're doing bad things to people. And he's one of those villains where it's like he'll come up and smile and stab you in the back. Smile to your face and stab you in the back at the same time.
Yeah.
And I think that's a kind of cool villain because he's not just like a mustache twirling villain. And it's like there's a lot going on in that guy. And by the end of the movie, it's like he pretty much knows that he's done.
Yeah.
But he's still willing to fight.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he gets his comeuppance yeah. at the end.
I remember that movie. That was a good
yeah,
one.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and like I said, like I agree with you. Well, Brian Dennehy is terrifying.
It's Lawrence Kasdan. So, yeah. I mean, it's like, you know, it's really like, you know, he has a style. Mm-hmm. And Brian Dennehy just plays a good bad guy.
Yeah. I still loved him in Tommy Boy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, he's funny in Tommy Boy.
But, what was it? FX. That's probably my favorite. Yes.
Yeah, with Brian Brown. In FX, yeah.
With him in FX, that's probably one of my favorites. All right, well, I'll stick with kind of the Western theme.
Sure.
And I'll go with kind of a modern Western.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Boyd Crowder, played by Walton Goggins on Justified.
Yep.
The beauty of Boyd Crowder is if you read the short story, Fire in the Hole, which
yeah.
the show Justified yeah, I've never was read based that. On, spoiler alert, he dies.
Right.
Boyd was supposed to be in one episode.
Okay.
At the end of the pilot, Raylan shoots him through the heart.
Okay.
And then... because he did such an awesome job,
right?
They, you know, changed the story and they kept sure. him around. And then for the next seven seasons, you had again this very layered and complex villain who at first it was this very racist, white power,
right?
You know, it was like a lot of the stuff that we deal with now that we're looking at and looking closer at now with like what was called the alt-right,
yeah.
I mean, that's what he identified with, and sure. that was his sole purpose, right?
Right.
As well as drugs. And then he moves on from that, and, like, he finds God, and, like, you know,
sure.
but, like, he finds God in his own way.
Raylan shoots him, and then
it was later.
Right, but, that, I mean, the whole thing with yeah. Raylan shooting him changed his mind about what he was going to do.
Yeah, and, but, like, he's still, like, so... And then it's that same, you know, the best friends are the worst enemies
yeah.
kind of a thing. Watching Walton Goggins and Timothy Oliphant play off each other.
Oh,
as
yeah,
these
yeah.
two childhood friends who are now on opposite sides of the law when, you know, Boyd looks at Raylan. He's like, you were every bit as bad as I am.
Uh-huh.
Worse, you yeah. know. And here you are trying to tell me
yep.
what I can and can't do.
Yeah.
Forget that. And, you know, and Boyd makes bad decisions. He makes,
well, sure, yeah.
But then he makes these strategic plays, and you know, it's like, man, like it's what made Justify one of my top five favorite.
A
shows.
Lot of his strategic plays were ones where when he the way he played it, it was always like, wow, that really worked.
Yeah,
<It's> like,
he was like, wait, did that work?
That worked.
But he was always his best when his back was to the wall.
Yeah,
that's what made the
well,
character
sure, yeah.
awesome. So anyway.
It's a shame that he gets killed by a predator in the Predators movie. hey, it seemed yeah. like the same guy.
Well, not too far off.
Not too far off, yeah. And he's wearing prison uniform when he shows up, and they never said what his name was. No. So I'm like, Boyd Crowder died on another planet. Yeah.
But, I mean, he's such a great actor. I love him in Vice Principals right now.
Oh, yeah.
On HBO.
Yeah. He was awesome on Sons of Anarchy.
He was great on Sons of Anarchy. Oh, completely different role yeah. for him. He was in Major League 3.
Okay.
With the guy that was Lem from The Shield.
Okay.
Kenny Johnson.
Okay.
And it's so funny because like they were together on The Shield.
Right.
And they were both on Major League 3, which is, you know. Like,
and Sons of Anarchy.
We like to joke about the movie. Those movies don't happen, right?
Sure.
I think probably Major League fans pretend like
I was
going to
say, was there a Major
happen.
League 3?
Yeah, it was called Back to the Minors, and like Corbin Burnson was like the coach or something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I just remember it, you know, for yeah. whatever reason, and he was great. And it was kind of the first time I saw him, and then every time, like then I saw him on The Shield, and I was like, oh,
sure.
wow, it's that guy. Oh my God, he's amazing as Shane Vandrell. But yeah, so all right.
My next one is Mr. Joshua, portrayed by Gary Busey in Lethal Weapon.
Man, you look at Mr. Joshua, right?
Yeah.
And then you look at Gary Busey now.
Yeah.
There's no way he could play that role.
Not now, no.
Not at all.
No. at this point, Gary Busey was on top of his game in the acting world, you know?
I think just in general.
Yeah.
I mean, this pre-motorcycle crash.
Yeah. Yeah. And it, the way they wrote this character, you know, it, the movie obviously is mid-80s, so Vietnam had happened. So this guy was one of the worst people.
Black
the,
ops.
Yeah, worst you know. People to come out of Vietnam. Yeah.
He was the anti-Riggs.
Yeah,
you know, like that was the beauty. Like he and Riggs were the same. They were two sides of the same coin.
With, yeah,
you know that cliche. But you're absolutely right. He was
where Riggs could deal with society and could be married.
But
and,
Riggs also had a lot of regret of what happened over there, and it affected him. And,
yeah,
and it drove him to be a good cop.
Right.
Whereas what happened over there for Mr. Joshua drove him to be a scumbag,
a robot,
an assassin. You know. Yeah, a robot.
Just pull his arm out and you know run a light a lighter underneath it, and he doesn't react. And it's like, okay, you know, the fight at the end with him and Riggs. Yeah, it's definitely like one person fighting themselves, kind of thing. And you know, that's why Riggs can beat him so easily.
Yeah, it wasn't easily, but
well, you know, there's a lot of blood when you fight yourself.
Yeah, but it definitely was Riggs fighting that dark part of himself and set up the rest of the series.
I think that this, like this and I want to say Silver Bullet were probably two of Gary Busey's best roles.
Oh, yeah. How great would it be to do a Lethal Weapon 5 with Gary Busey gets out of jail or escapes from jail?
Right.
Like Gary Busey now?
If he wouldn't have died.
He didn't die. Oh, yeah, no, they did. That's right. Yeah. He shot him. Duh.
Yeah.
I was thinking, oh, wait. No,
every villain dies at the end of a Lethal Weapon movie.
It was the Die Hard ending, too. You know, where they were both under the blanket and they're like, pew,
pew, pew. Yeah.
But yeah. No, he's a good one.
Yeah.
He is a good one.
Yeah, he definitely was awesome in that movie.
You know, just kind of the way he Terminator through the streets.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
That kind of stuff. But
well, the whole desert scene where he just stands there pretty much.
Yeah, he doesn't move. You know?
Yeah.
Come on, give me a shot. Give me a shot.
That's not a real grenade.
It's a smoke bomb.
Yep.
Nice. All right. So my next one is from The Legend of Korra, which had two really good villains, one really, really bad villain, and then one that was like kind of like, all right, I understand the motivation of the story. This was my favorite villain from Korra, and that was Zaheer. Who was voiced by my favorite Henry Rollins. And the beauty of Zaheer is, in his mind, he's a hero.
Right.
He is every bit an anarchist.
Yeah.
He is every bit.
I haven't seen this season yet. So.
He's every bit as evil as you would want someone to be, right? So what happens in season 3 of Korra is, well, at the end of season 2 of Korra, she reunites the spirit world
with,
you know, the people world.
Right.
And by doing so, it re-unlocks airbending for the world.
Sure.
And so new airbenders pop up all over. Well, Zaheer had been the leader of this criminal gang.
Okay.
And part of an organization called the Red Lotus, which, you know, if you know anything about Korra and Avatar.
Right.
The White Lotus is, you know, the kind of the keepers of the world.
Right.
And the Red Lotus, they want to tear everything down and have no governments.
They're the
no
anarchists of the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The
protectors and the anarchists.
Yeah. And so he's been put in prison and he's such a bad person that he's up on this mountaintop that people only, they come once every 3 weeks to give him a bowl of rice and some water.
Okay.
Like that's it. Well, we open up with him. And he's just this dude with long
and he's
hair.
Just a guy. He doesn't have any abilities or anything at this point.
We don't
right?
know that, right?
Right.
So then airbending gets unlocked, and he gets it.
Right.
He gets airbending, and he escapes, and it's amazing. And it's like, but he had studied airbenders. He there was a guru Lahima who was one of the he's like one of the mythical airbenders that, you know, he unlocked the power of flight.
Sure.
And things like that. And he knows more about airbending than anyone, even Tenzin.
Okay.
And so when he gets this, he goes and he frees the rest of his gang. And his goal is to end the Avatar in the cycle. They know how to do it. They know how they're going to do it. They're, you know, and it's all about just the knowledge that he needs to get, what it takes to get there. Like there's a point where he infiltrates the airbender school.
Okay.
and you know, they have no idea who he is,
right?
Because he shaved his head, and like, just the character design is awesome.
Yeah,
but you get to the end, right? And he's got this woman he loves named Pylee.
Okay,
and she's killed in battle, and that was the thing that he needed to like accept his destiny. And he has this mantra that Guru Lahima came up with that was, you know, essentially let go of your earthly tethers,
right?
Step away and enter the void,
right?
And you become wind, and that was
how right. Yeah.
And there's this moment where she dies, and like he's like, all right, I'm done with this shit.
Yeah,
I'm like this done.
It's like that was the last thing.
The avatar's gone.
Right.
I'm killing this dude. I'm killing this lady. Like he kills the Earth Kingdom queen.
Oh wow. Okay.
And one of the most just in for a kid's cartoon.
Yeah.
It's so violent because what he does is he creates like, you know, little air ball Aang rides around
Yeah.
He creates one of those around her head.
Oh wow.
And then pulls all the air out of her lungs.
Okay.
I mean, that's rough.
That's a way to do it.
You know,
yeah.
And like there's a point where he starts doing that to Korra. And,
right.
You know, I mean, they
were smart enough, like, you know, doing that, but giving mm-hmm. an airbender being the villain.
Yeah.
The fact that showing that it's not all happiness with the airbenders. There's badness that can happen if the wrong person gets that power.
Yeah.
And showing something like that is showing that this isn't all like good when it's an airbender.
Like these people were monks. Because
the airbenders were like the monks.
They were
the
monks
peaceful
and nomads
people of the
for
universe.
A reason.
Right, yeah.
Because really of all the power. Like
they
you
had
know,
the most.
I would almost argue
I mean,
that Earth
we all breathe
most,
air. And in that universe, they all breathe air. So the most powerful force would be air. And it's like, you know, yeah, it makes sense why there was nomadic airbenders and there was, you know, the monks that were living in monasteries that nobody was allowed to visit because they had the most ability to destroy everything.
Yeah. No, you're right.
One bad airbender, and they could have just pushed all the air off that planet.
Yeah, essentially.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
All right. Cool.
So yeah, that's definitely like something that
he's so good.
That's a cool idea for a villain on a show where it's like you've only had one.
Yeah.
For you know, for two different shows, you've only had one that they've shown like with abilities, and that to bring somebody in that has that ability and is a bad guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. All right, cool. All right, so
my next one is from the Monster Squad, and it's Dracula, portrayed by Duncan Regehr.
Dracula is probably the best monster.
This is a very
show.
Different portrayal of Dracula from most of the stuff that you've seen. I mean, you know, there's been Dracula really bad and bloody and all that, but I think that like the portrayal of Dracula in this has different motivations than any Dracula I had ever seen before, you know, this.
Until Hotel Transylvania.
Sure.
Blah, blah, blah.
Blah, 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 blah.
I don't say blah, 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 except to say I don't say blah, blah, blah.
So this Dracula is motivated to destroy the world with a crystal, where he'll open up pretty much the gates of hell and everything bad will come into the universe.
Some mofos just want to watch the world burn.
Yeah, well, yeah.
And he's one of them.
Yeah, but I like Duncan Regehr. And I think that this is like really just a cool thing for him to do because he usually was playing the nice guy roles.
Right.
And then he got cast for this. And it's like he's like just straight up a villain.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's willing to kill kids to get his goals. Yeah. And, at the end battle when he picks up Phoebe and like calls her a bitch, it's like.
Yeah.
Okay, you were really a bad guy.
This movie's like PG.
Yeah, and it's just one of those things where, I mean, the way he does it, because he's just, you know, like the title of the episode says, he's just cold.
Yeah.
He's a cold-hearted guy because he has no heart.
Yeah.
But like, you know, just manipulating everything that he does.
Yeah.
Blowing up stuff. And, you know, he does some pretty wicked stuff in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that, you know, that's why he's on my list.
Cool.
None of the other ones would be on my list from this movie because they're all pretty much just
comic relief.
He's just using them all.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what I think was cool about it, is he uses all of the other ones to do his dirty work.
Do my bidding.
Monsters. Meanwhile, he's just digging in a mansion looking for a crystal.
Yeah. So talking about a villain who uses other villains to do bidding. My next one is from The Wire and is Stringer Bell.
Yep.
Which this was the first thing I ever saw Idris Elba in.
Okay.
Which I think is probably normal for a lot of the American audience.
Yeah, the American audience.
And Stringer Bell is this drug dealing, wannabe kingpin.
Yeah.
Wants to be a legitimized, OG baller, bad guy.
Right.
He wants to move on from the drug trade. But, the cool thing about him is, the way he goes about changing things up.
Yeah.
Has them using pagers.
Right.
The corner boys and stuff. And, when they move on to cell phones, he has them using burners and swapping out SIM cards. There's this great scene where he sits down to make a phone call, opens the desk drawer, and pulls out one of those 1 gallon bags. Ziploc bags, plops it down, and
it's full of SIM cards.
And he's okay, this is what I'm going to use. Get stuff done. He's ruthless.
Yeah.
Avon Barksdale's what is his name? His last name's Wood.
I don't know.
Anyway,
sorry.
The Avon Barksdale, he's he's the kingpin. He's the guy Stringer reports up to. His cousin is, one of the high level guys. His cousin ends up at prison and, Stringer has him killed in prison to make it look like a suicide. And
right.
It's damn.
Yeah.
Well, at the
point that
hardcore.
I was at, it's you could just see that he's kind of ruthless because he walks into a courtroom and nobody can touch him.
No, he walks in. The thing is that not only can nobody touch him, but nobody knows who he is.
Yeah.
There's not a picture of him. They just know his name is Stringer Bell.
Right.
And that's not even his real name.
Right.
The point for me where he became just a bad guy and not this guy's kind of a cool villainy,
right,
whatever, is when he had Wallace killed.
Okay.
And spoilers, but that was Michael B. Jordan's character.
Okay.
And that was just rough because Wallace was such a cool character. And to see him just go, it's like, I don't know how I feel about this.
Right.
I don't know if I'm gonna continue watching this show if they're gonna kill Wallace off.
Yeah.
I mean, of course I'm gonna keep
he's one of those guys where it's like you're like when he makes a decision and it happens, you're like, okay, that was, if you're a fan of a character and somebody has him killed off, you're like, that's really
that's a thing.
Really rough.
That's a thing that just now happened.
Yeah.
So Stringer Bell definitely. And again, it's I think the next time I was introduced to Idris Elba was on The Office.
Oh, really?
And Amy Ryan was on The Wire as well in season 2.
Yeah.
And she was on The Office, and they were on at the same time. It's like, that's funny.
You're like, well, that's weird. Yeah.
Yeah, Amy Ryan's character is nothing like her Office character, whereas Idris Elba's character is still kind of a bastard.
Still kind of the Stringer Bell?
Yeah.
There's some Stringer Bell running a paper company.
It's, he was a corporate Stringer Bell where he was trying to end people's careers, but career assassination.
Yeah.
All right, so let's do your last one.
My last one is Diana.
That's a good one.
From V, who was portrayed by Jane Badler.
So not Marina Baccarat?
No. No. Diana's the original bitch.
I know. This was a great choice. V, the miniseries from the 80s.
Yeah.
And,
she portrayed her through V the Final Battle, and V the TV series. So she was around for the whole thing. She did show up on
reboot.
Reimagination or whatever you want to call it, as the main character's mother. So she was still probably pretty much playing Diana.
Yeah, pretty much.
And that, but Diana's just a really cool villain because of the fact that she don't care.
No,
she's just there to take over, and will do it any way she has to. That it would include torture and blowing the whole planet up.
Yep,
if she has to.
If I can't have it, neither can you. And those are the best villains.
Well, and the best part of it is everybody's afraid of her. But I forget what his name was. The actor's name was Andrew Prine. He was kind of her second in command, but he was the only one who would make offhanded comments at her because she was sleeping with the Supreme Leader
right.
before they came to Earth.
Yeah.
So it was one of those things where he would rip on her every once in a while, like, why are you even here? Because, you know, if the Supreme Leader really cared about you, he wouldn't have sent you this far across the galaxy. Right. And it's like, you know, just the look she would give him.
Yeah.
And just, you know, and whole, just the way she portrayed it.
Yeah.
And that, because she made herself look reptilian. And when the skin would come off mm-hmm. and you would see it, you'd be like, that's probably what she really looks like yeah. underneath.
And the other cool thing about her is at the time, right, we didn't have a lot of female villains.
No, no.
You know, and, yeah. and to see on network television of all things in the '80s to just have the
yeah, I think it was only her and Joan Collins yeah. were really like the two major like bitches.
Yeah,
but on network television.
But I mean, Joan Collins' character was more like a bitch, right?
Yeah.
I mean, this was a like yeah. world dominating Lex Luthor, Joker.
Yeah,
you know, Kingpin type villain. You know,
she'd kill them all.
She absolutely
and eat them.
I think she'd probably eat them alive.
Yeah.
Oh man, she'd feed on Wilson Fisk for weeks.
Yes. yeah, well, and that's kind of, I think, what made her even like more villainous is because you knew that
right.
what they were doing with humans and being looking at her eating a hamster at one point in an episode. And it's like, you know, you're like, okay, you're worse than most like human villains.
Yeah.
And that, so yeah, I really, you know, and I go back and watch that and it's just like, yeah, she's awesome.
And great portrayal. Yeah. Great, just great job acting in 80s television, yeah. which there wasn't necessarily a lot of. All
right,
cool.
Just a good miniseries yeah. and, you know, they cast it right and yep. she plays a really good villain in it.
She done good. You done good, lady. All right, my last one is also a female. And going back to the world of Avatar,
mm-hmm.
it is the Grey Delice voiced Azula.
Mm-hmm.
Azula is amazing.
Yeah.
We talked about Avatar.
Yeah,
we had a whole episode about it.
Yeah, we talked about it.
Azula is one of those villains who she just didn't like Diana.
Right.
She didn't care.
Yeah.
To the point where like she became uber sensitive about it.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it's like she didn't care so much that like all of a sudden like everyone was an enemy.
Yeah, like with her, it was the thing where she wasn't very emotional mm-mm. in the first place. And, you know, she had daddy issues.
Mommy issues.
Mommy issues.
More yeah. mommy issues than daddy
But she
issues,
had daddy but. Issues, too, because it was like as much as he showed affection toward her,
right.
he cared more about his son.
Mm-hmm. Who was...
Was rebelling against him the whole time.
Well,
but even
when they were kids, she was the prodigy and
right,
Zuko
yeah.
was the screw up. And,
yeah.
You know, but like, you know, and even though she's older, you know, he was the one in line to be Fire Lord.
Right.
And she's like, well, wait a second.
I'm
this prodigal, you know, firebender. And dad, look, I'm devious and I'm strategic
yeah.
and I have all these same traits that you have.
Right. And by the time
but
we
why
meet
do you,
her.
Why do you care about this little shit?
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. By the time yeah. we actually meet her, she's just like totally turned off.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, you know, her two friends are her emotions.
When she goes, like when we meet her and she goes to get to recruit Tylee.
Yeah.
Right. That episode tells you everything you need to know about what you're going to see from this character for
yeah.
the rest of the series. So she shows up to watch her friend in the circus. And she's, you know, the Fire Lord's daughter. And,
yeah.
You know, and she's like, how about we do it with no net?
Mm-hmm.
And Tylee's up on the tightrope. And then she's like, how about, we put the rope on fire. And then all of a sudden, Tylee's like, yeah, I'm going to join you.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to
yeah,
die.
Sure. Yeah. I don't want to die.
And then they go to May, and May is, you know, May is May.
Right.
And, you know,
but
she's like,
it's
yeah,
the
fine,
whole thing
join,
where it's like,
but,
you know, every one of them is a little damaged, but yeah. they know that she's like really
she's the
damaged,
most damaged.
So they push her
mm-hmm.
and they keep pushing her like throughout the show. And it's like by the end, they've turned on her.
And
because,
when they do, I
yeah.
mean, it's like she doesn't even see it coming.
Right. Yeah.
You know, one of my favorite things about her was in season 3 with the Earth Kingdom.
Yeah.
And she gets there and there's the agents, the Dailey agents. And, you know, Clancy Brown's character is the leader of the Dailey.
Yeah.
And you know, he turns around and he's like, Dailey, get her. And she's like,
yeah,
they report to me now, buddy.
Right.
And he's like, wait a second. And he's like, they recognize real power.
Right.
And like, again, like we see, like from what we learned at that, the beginning of,
right.
of her arc, we see, okay, this is real power. And then, you know, she calls it out to him, like, they're trying to see which one of us is going to win.
Right.
They don't know who they're going to follow yet, but they're going to follow me. And it's like, nice. And then you get to the point where, you know, in season 4, at the end, when Ozai makes her Fire Lord and becomes the Phoenix King, it's like, really? I can't even win.
Yeah.
I can't be in charge. Like, I still have to report to you, Dad. Like, give me the shot. And she's lost her mind. She's seeing her mom. Yeah. You know, when she cuts her own hair off, it's like,
just the fight between her and Zuko at the end. It's like, you know that she's gone over the edge totally at that point.
And that is my favorite, like, heartbreaking, beautiful part of the entire series. The score to that.
Yeah.
Seeing the red and blue flames. Just watching him for the first time really stand up to her.
Yeah.
And she can't deal with it. And you know, she's lighting the Fire Nation capital on fire more than he is.
Yeah.
I mean, because she is just... She's done with power.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch the world burn.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of the theme for these villains, I think, in a lot of ways that we've both picked.
Yeah. The ones that have that kind of power.
That have the ability to do that. And yeah, she is just fantastic.
Has she shown up in the comic book stuff? Okay.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Her arc in the comic.
But she's locked up too. I mean, well, she was at the end of it, pretty much.
At the end, she ends up in jail, and Zuko goes and visits her. And, but no, she's a... there's some...
But she's an ongoing type villain.
I mean, she's a villain. Yeah, yeah, I mean, she's
one that can keep coming back.
Spoiler, she gets out.
But
the things she's doing now is every bit as terrifying as what she did in the cartoon. So, all right.
Cool.
Anything else? Any last words?
That's it on the villains.
Yeah. So I look forward to doing this again
in another month or so.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be cool. All right. So the Infamous Podcast, we are recording in Cincinnati, Ohio. We have new episodes every Friday.
Yeah.
You can find us online at infamouspodcast.com. We're on social media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I promise I'll be better about updating those this week.
Let us know which of these 10 villains is your favorite, you know, and if you haven't watched any, you know, some of this stuff, check it out.
I mean, and who some of your favorite villains are.
Yeah.
That would be a good one, too. We would love to hear that. And you can let us know that at contact@infamouspodcast.com. All right. I'm Brian Tudor. I'm on most social networks as Brian Tudor.
Yep. I'm Johnny Potter, pretty much like on the main ones.
Yeah.
So...
Anywho.
Just go to the About Us page. Yep,
links to everything. And don't forget our Patreon page. And while you're at it, if you like what you hear, we would really appreciate a 5-star review on iTunes or Stitcher or Google or wherever you're listening to us. And we'll see you next week.
Yep. Have a good one, people.
Later.